Hello.
Hiya, is that Teresa?
It is.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Francesca from INS Law, but your Scottish
Oh,
have to go.
hiya.
Okay, is now a good time to talk?
Hi, it's fine.
Yes, fab. So before we begin, I just need to get some details off you for data protection.
Yeah.
Would I be able to get your full name, please?
It's Teresa Alice McGinley.
And your date of birth?
The 18th of 2nd, 1976.
And your current address?
21 Westland Drive, flat 23.
Yeah, and your postcode?
G14
Yep.
99NY. That's Jordan Hill.
And were you known by any previous names, so before care or during care?
Yes. That would have been Galia, I think it would have been Mackie or Galia. Galia being spelled Galea.
Yeah, and Mackie is
Mackie, Mackie. I think I might have been, well, that's what's on my birth lines anyway. Mackie is on my birth lines, but when my mother got married, one of her names was Galia. I think that's Stu's dad's been into care.
So before would have been Mackie. So when
Yes.
you were born, yeah.
Yes, on my birth lines it's Mackie. But she was married a couple of times, so I've had a few different surnames when I stayed with her.
Okay. And what is the reason for name change?
Well, I got married and my mother was married three times, so the name that I've got just now is a married name from
Marriage,
going before.
okay, fab. And in regards to your mother's name, so would I be able to take her full name if that's okay?
Elizabeth Gallia, it would be, and I think it would have been that when I was put in care as well.
And did it change at all whilst you were in care?
Her name, no, she still keeps the same name. She was married a few times, but that I think that was before I was put in care. That's when I resided with her. But I think
Okay.
she got married to that man while I was still there, so I would say it was Gallia.
Okay, perfect. And what was your, do you recall your birth father's name?
I don't know, I didn't know my
No.
birth father. I
Okay.
just found out later on in life that it
Yeah.
wasn't the same as my sisters and brothers.
Yeah. So in regards to that, so sometimes with your record, so it'll have your mother's name on it, and
Aye.
was there a stepfather or anything that would have been put on them as well, or would it just be your
Well,
mum?
his name might have been put on it. So my mother, Elizabeth Gallia, her name would be on it. And
Yeah.
if her husband at the time again, it would be Martin Gallia.
And do you happen to recall that the address that you were in prior to being placed into care?
Yes, 48 Micklewood Road.
What was the street name, sorry?
Micklewood, Mickle Wood. Micklewood.
And what area is that in?
Drummoyne, Glasgow.
Two seconds. And would I be able to take the name of the GP surgery you're currently registered with?
The one that I'm registered with at the moment is Barclay Medical Practice. That's Dumbarton Road, Scotstoun.
Dumbarton Road, yeah. And are
Yeah.
you, is it Clydeside or Victoria
Yes,
Park?
Clydeside.
Thank you. And just in regards to contacting you, so it's usually via telephone, email, and text. Are those all okay?
Yep, absolutely fine.
Yeah, perfect. And we also use WhatsApp sometimes. So
Aye.
when we request, is that all okay? Yeah.
Aye, absolutely fine.
Fab. And the email I have on file for you is bigteresamcg@hotmail.com. Yeah.
I didn't set that one up, but aye, that's it. Aye.
That's okay. Yeah, my first email wasn't the best.
Do you know, we tried loads of things and that was the only one, then it came up and I was like, oh fuck, we need to go with that.
For God's sake.
I know.
Yeah, right, just a couple more questions and then I'll just cover that in some information that we have to go through, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So have you received any relevant payments before? So
no,
any criminal injuries compensation? No?
No.
And do you have any criminal convictions at all?
I think when I was young, but they're all like spent like 30 years or something like that.
Yeah, that's fine. So if you received a sentence of imprisonment of 5 years or more?
No.
No, perfect. And have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses at all?
Any general illnesses?
Terminal.
Oh, terminal? No.
Okay. And with your application as well, you're able to nominate the beneficiary. So if anything was to happen to you, we'd then get in touch with them and they'd take over. Would you like to add one?
I suppose it'd be my son.
Yeah, would I be able to get his full name?
It's John Silver McGinley.
Silver?
Aye.
Yeah. And his date of birth?
The 28th of 1996.
And do you have an email address or a contact number for him?
I don't at the moment because he's got that many numbers, but I could get that to you later on this evening when I looked at my phone and found out.
Yeah, that's fabulous. You just email over and then we'd also need then his address.
Aye, no problem at all.
Perfect. So I appreciate discussing experiences connected to this application can be difficult and upsetting. So please take your time during the call. And if you need a break at any point, if you need further explanation or support, just let me know, okay?
No bother at all.
And do you suffer from any communication difficulties or any vulnerabilities that you want to make me aware of?
No.
No? So the purpose of the call today, so I'll explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you. We'll go through your options. I'll explain how INS law operates. We'll discuss funding and fees. And then gather some information then to assess whether and how we can assist you. All sound okay, yeah?
Aye.
So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So it's important that you know all of your options before you decide whether to instruct us. So you can apply directly to the Redress Scheme by yourself without a solicitor. Or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme. So those solicitors, they're paid directly by the government for assisting you with the application. So under that scheme, the solicitors can receive up to £2,000 plus the VAT for assisting you, regardless of whether you're successful or not with the application.
Yep.
So INS law doesn't operate under that scheme, so we don't claim any government-funded fees. So if you decide to instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement. So we're not paid by the government.
Just to stop you, just in case there is no point in this, I'd never received any abuse in care, that's the thing. I was just in care and get moved about a bit, but I never received any abuse in care.
Yeah, so in regards to the abuse, so you say obviously you didn't receive any, but it goes from anything from emotional neglect, social services, if you were put somewhere you shouldn't have, if you were left at home and you shouldn't have,
I suppose there's a few things that happen, but I don't know what's allowed and what's not allowed, if you know what I mean. That's just the care that I was under, so I don't know what the class is unfit service.
Yeah, so what were those incidents?
I mean, I was put in care, I was then taking it. I was put in Helensburgh when I went to school here, so I had to travel to Helensburgh here, and then I was taken out of that home in Blairvaddock, and then put in with my sister, taken out of there, and then put into Alva, and then it was taken out of there, and I run away and I get married and became a heroin addict as such, through, I suppose, all, everything that went on. But then when I became 21, I then went to college, got qualifications and stuff like that. So I don't know if any of that qualifies me as being an applicant.
So in regards to that, so you were moved around a lot, you never had stability.
Yeah.
With the signs, like with the forms of abuse, so it can class as any kind of neglect, or even if they just didn't give you what you should have had, so just in forms of hygiene too.
13, 14, 15. So yeah. I don't really know. All I know is I ran away and got married at 16, just to get out of the care system, really.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. And the fact of getting moved about, I really don't know the reasons and stuff like that. I don't know. Because I was only in care maybe two, 3 years, and I was in, like, three places. And my sister took me in for a while, and then she put me back out, and I got put in at another place. So I don't really know. Is it worth pursuing this?
It's a bit of a tricky one, because we did put it through, and they could say yeah. So it just depends if you wanted to.
I mean, I've got nothing to lose, I suppose.
There's also that, yeah.
And I suppose it's no skin off my nose. I'm no mentally affected by my childhood anymore. I'm 15 year old now, I've made peace with my past. But I mean, suppose if there's a claim there, then fair enough.
Yeah. So in this case, what we need to do now with the statement, so we'll get on to that towards the end of the call,
right.
But it would be to basically try and put everything possible together. So obviously how moving around affected you, leaving school affected you, being separate from siblings, basically, and we'll try and put then everything as much as possible together, okay?
Aye.
So just one last thing so quickly. So have you instructed any of the solicitors to act for you in relation to a reader's application at
all? I've not done anything like this before, no.
Okay. So our agreement, so we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if you're unsuccessful, you pay nothing. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you pay nothing.
Uh-huh.
So if you are successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on the time spent and then a success fee. However, the total fees, so they're capped at no more than 16% of your redress payments, so plus the VAT, so I think it's like 19.2%. She'll never pay more than that agreed cap, okay?
Cool.
So like I said, and obviously then if you're unsuccessful, you pay nothing.
Good time.
Just in case. So it's important to make clear, so we can't guarantee that it will be successful or the level of award the scheme may award you. So the scheme operates on a discretionary basis, so I can explain that in greater detail during the call as well.
Yeah.
So if you decide to instruct us, so what we assist with, so we go through your eligibility to apply to the scheme. We gather and review all the evidence. We prepare and submit the application. We do all the corresponding with the redress scheme. And then we can advise you on any offer made and assist with any reconsideration or review processes in the scheme as well, if you're unhappy with the outcome.
Yeah.
So we'll also explain the statutory waiver to you before an offer is made or before you decide to accept anything. So it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters.
Uh-huh.
So you're never expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences.
Yeah.
So you also have a right to cancel. So if you decide to proceed with us, you have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement. So you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And you can also authorise us to begin work immediately while your cancellation rights still remain. So would you be happy for us to do that?
Aye.
Yeah. Fab. And just so we're able to formally act for you as well, we'll need proof of identity for verification purposes. So do you have any photographic ID at all?
See, my passport's in my other. I was married twice as well. So my passport's in. That's only photographic ID. I work for the council, but it's only like my work badge that I've got.
So in regards to that, so if you don't have photographic ID, so we can do three letters instead. So it'd be proof of address. So as long as it's got your full name,
like council tax, our bills, stuff like that. I can do that,
as long as it's
just a matter of taking a picture of it and attaching it to your email.
Yeah, so you can attach it to an email that I'll send you, or you can WhatsApp them to us, whatever's easier.
Oh, brilliant. I forgot that, aye.
Yeah, and then as long as they're dated then within 3 months, so anything sent after the 19th of May.
No bother at all, that's fine.
Perfect. So I'll send over an email as well in relation to what we can accept, and then you can just respond, or you can do it on WhatsApp. But the WhatsApp number will be on the email as well.
I'll probably do a WhatsApp. It's easier.
Yeah. So I'll send that to you now, actually, just so I know it's there. There we go. So yeah, so the email I've just sent you, so the WhatsApp number will be on the very bottom, okay?
Brilliant.
So, in regards to the application now, so just move on to the case settings.
Mm-hmm.
So with your statement section, so it won't be necessarily an individual statement for each case setting. It's more of the overview. So
an overview, it all right.
Yeah. So in regards to that, so what council would it have been under?
Glasgow City, I presume. Well, Glasgow City, I presume. However, I lived in Glasgow and I got sent to a home in Helensburgh. But I suppose it would still be Glasgow City Council it was dealing with then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And would I be able to take the names of
the homes?
Places? Yeah.
Yep. Blair Vaddock's Children's Home. I just visited that there the other month there, actually. It's turned into beautiful flats. So that's still there, but it's no longer a home.
Would you be able to spell that for me, sorry?
Blair Vaddock. Well, now you're asking. B-L-A-R, Blair. V-A-D.
Yeah.
O-C-H.
I got it right.
Is that?
That's
right.
How I spelled it.
So that was the first one, aye. Yeah. Length of times, I'm very unsure, because it was so young, possibly about a year. Possibly under a year.
So that was under a year you were there?
Possibly, aye.
Yeah.
About that.
And how old were you when you were there?
I think I was at late 13s. Late 13s, I think nearly 14.
So 1990 will pop.
Right.
Yeah. And then after that one, then where were
you?
Could
have been younger than that because I got married in 92.
So 1988. As long as we've got the estimate, it's okay.
Aye, that's all right then.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then after that one, then we...
Then my sister took me out of there. She visited me once, took me out of there, and then threw me back out. And then
yeah.
I went to Alva Children's Home in Crookston Road, which is New Paltrow. So that's A-L-V-A, Alva. And that was in Crookston... I think it was Crookston Road, same road as Liverpool, Crookston Road, I think it was. I can never find that one when I ever look it up. Never any information at all. There was a social work building down the road there, which is still there, an old building, but that one completely.
So, was it on Park Street? Does recall Park Street?
I don't know, it was just doing a bit of Kempston Crescent. It's now a housing scheme.
Where was it near?
It's just across. It was doing the boat at Kempston Crescent, and it was just near Leverndale Hospital. And I'm sure that was possibly Crookston Road, it was called.
Yeah.
But there's absolutely zero information I can ever find about that home.
Yeah.
But I do know there was a big social work building on the same road just doing a bit. It was an old kind of fancy house. I think that was just Crookston possibly social work, but I don't know. Maybe they might have some information about that. A strange one, that.
Yeah, I can't seem to find anything either.
I know. I've asked even on Facebook and stuff like that. I took them on the Blair Vaddock Children's Home site. And when I ask about Alva, people say, do you know any photos? There's absolutely no information regarding that, but surely there's got to be documentation somewhere.
Alva Children's Home is in the Pollock Crookston Road area. Yeah.
Aye.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. Okay. And that was for about...
That was, I don't know, maybe less than a year again.
Yeah.
A big fight happened there with the staff, and my then husband, well, I got engaged when I was in there, so I must have been just turned 15, and there was a big fight with the staff, and my boyfriend at the time was arrested. I was put out. To be fair, that was where the staff being aggressive towards us, but being an adult, I was probably being a dick, to be fair.
That still counts. I mean, you were 15.
That's exactly. But my boyfriend at the time, we were all arrested. There was a big fight, the staff was fighting, and even with my boyfriend, it was a fisticuffs fight and all that. It was pretty brutal, and I get put out of there, and I get put into Newlands, I think it was Newlands Children's Home, possibly in past Pollock, past I don't know if it was Newlands it was in, I'm not sure, but it was Newlands Children's Home, and I ran away from there. And it was a gypsy that I married.
Was that Calderwood Road?
It might be. I can't even remember because I didn't stay long. I don't even think I unpacked my stuff. I think it maybe a couple of weeks and I was off.
Off you went.
Aye, that was it.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay, so is there any instance that you can recall from the first one, Liv Adduck?
I mean, the only hardship now I look back on it is sending a wee lassie to school in Govan when she resided in Helensburgh, you know, getting a train all the way there when I was young. I took an overdose in there. And I remember that I was in the Vale of Even Hospital and I ran away from there and was walking down the middle of the road and all that. And it was bad times in there. But again, it's no particular the staff's fault. It's just how things was handled back then.
So in regards to that, so it's not necessarily just a claim against staff. It's about social services and the government and how you're put in situations that you shouldn't have been
absolutely.
Put in.
And I think I ran away from that hospital. I remember I ran away from the hospital because I took an overdose. I ran away because I said, I'm not staying there. They put me in a ward with old people, and that's all I remember. I was in with old people, and they were giving me charcoal to drink and all that. And I walked down the road, the Duck Bay Marina Road. It was just pitch black at night. So it was pretty scary, the whole setup, that incident, I suppose. And they are the only two incidents that I can think of. I mean, as you said before, I was put into care out with my siblings. I had siblings as well. I never get visits or anything from my parents. My stepfather, he works for the police and he's a pure bastard. He's fair battered my mother all days and still battered her these days. And I think that's how that basically played out, I think. You know, a mixture. I getting beat up and just watching the parents get beat up and my sister and brother, they can I just put up with kind of thing and blanked it, whereas I'm like, I don't think so.
So were you placed into care because of the stepfather?
Well, it was put down that I was just a naughty wean. I was unruly. But I think I told the social workers that my dad was battering me and they took my mat, and I think they just kind of denied it. I remember going to the police and saying, across the road, Meeklewood Road, my dad's battered my mum, but because my stepdad worked for the police, they done nothing about it. It's just, back in the day, they just turned a blind eye to it. So, and I'd say, my dad's battered me, and my mum's battered me, but I thought my mum was getting a doing because I was being naughty. But then I'm contacting me with my sister, and I still talk to my sister. She's the only one, but nobody now talks to my parents, because they've all realised that they're fucking bastards.
Yeah.
So I would put it down to Ivy, my stepdad, but they didn't. They just thought it was me, but I don't think they listened because he worked for the police. He wasn't a police, but he's worked for them for forever, on reception or whatever he does, but he still works there. And just beat my mum up all days.
Yeah.
And me. But I feel I was a saviour. I get out of it. They were just going to love, and that was fine for them.
So the first one you mentioned that it was, how far away was it from the school?
Helensburgh for the school, probably, a good half an hour, I'd say maybe 40 miles, maybe something like that. I'd need to Google it, Helensburgh to Glasgow, and then get the bus to Glasgow City Centre into Govan. But to be fair, I just got my bus fares and just spent it when I got to Coven and never went to Coven. Aye. it's a really good distance, quite far.
Okay. So when you ran away from the hospital, what happened then? So were you just
found
and then put back, or?
I think, so what I remember, the police found me walking down that big long road, a main road at night, and I think they just took me back. To the hospital and had to stay there. And that's kind of last memories I had there. But I don't know at which stage my sister took me at that home. I don't know if it was in maybe because that happened, or was it just a different time, but she took me in for like a few months and then actually blamed me for something that, see, because I was always stealing money and all that, I get the actual blame for something I did in a day, and then she's put me out. She's just like, out you go. And then I went to the Alba, the one in Pollock, and that's where I met my son's father. He's a gypsy that stayed there. And lo and behold, you think, you know, oh, you're like, oh, this is the man of my dreams here, really.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of run away to the home, and then I think I got married, and I got in contact with him, like, oh, Gallus, as if I'm a married woman, like, you can't touch me now. They came and arrested me. kept in the cells all night, and then troops through the town in handcuffs to go up in front of a panel, and basically what came out of it is, you're 16, now do what you want.
So is this in that second one?
Oh no, that was in Alva, the second one. So see, after the big fight broke out with my husband and the staff in there, and we were all, it was terrible, they then kicked me out of there, and that's when I went to Newlands, but I didn't stay there for long. I think maybe a couple of weeks, because I wasn't settling there at all, and that's when then I ran away and got married and I contacted them.
Okay, so with that fight in...
That's definitely why I get put out.
Yeah.
And the staff were like fisticuffing ways, and well, we were mostly the boyfriend at the time and pushing me about, and it was horrible. The police were involved, it was terrible. Aye. So if it wasn't for that. And the staff did, they handled it very poorly. I can't remember how they handled it, but I remember the incident. And for, I've worked in social care all my days now, and for an incident to come to that escalation, to come to that, remember the staff have done something wrong somewhere, whether that be how they handled it, whatever, it was terrible. I know I was terrified at that time, absolutely terrified.
So when you say the staff got into a big fight, so was it staff fighting staff?
No, staff fighting my boyfriend, pushing me about. I think I don't know if I'd stayed out all night, and the manager was shouting and bawling at me and being quite forceful, and that's when my boyfriend has jumped in like, what are you doing and all that, carry on. And it ended
so
up a fight.
So there was a staff member being forceful with you?
Aye, shouting and bawling, because I was just staying out and no doing what I was told, and he was overly shouting and bawling at me, and that's when my boyfriend at the time had started it, and then they went outside and started fighting in the car park and all that. And it was bad, and I don't know if my boyfriend actually got done with hitting one of the members of staff through it and police assault, because he had mental health issues that he did now, but he had very bad schizophrenic, so I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm married.
So with that fight as well, so they said that, was it like a proper fight with
absolutely.
Him?
Absolutely. Absolutely proper fight. Because I remember he bit a police's finger down to the bone, my boyfriend at the time, and the member of staff, they came out with black eyes and all that. It was vicious. And I remember I was there screaming, oh my God.
And you were just there kind of just watching it, and then
I was screaming hysterically. I mean, there was a group around it, whether that be staff and residents, or just kind of shouting and bawling, getting excited. Well, they'd phoned the police, and that's then when the police came.
So, and did anyone hurt you?
You know, probably in amongst the ruckus, it's my own fault of getting pushed about, but I had no visible injuries, but that scared life out of me. That's when I knew this was real. This was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is Melvin just staying at night and getting into trouble for that.
Yeah. So the police came and arrested you.
And my partner at the time. And he did get beat up during the night for that, because I heard him because he assaulted one of the police at the time and bit his finger right to the bone. And I'd seen my partner there the day after it, going up to court at the same time.
So what did the staff members bit him to the bone?
No, that was my boyfriend, bit one of the policemen, his fingers right down to the bone, eye. And I think the staff men ended up black eye, my boyfriend ended up with a black eye, and it was just a mess. And I don't think I even returned to that project to get put out, I think they just automatically moved me to the Newlands one.
And then Newlands, then you were only there for a couple of weeks, and then you just ran away.
I don't even think I settled there. It was just 3 months. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Trying to settle in one place after another, and then you're like, I just seen a kind of escapism, getting married to an absolute mental case, and I didn't see it at the time, but you don't.
That was Newlands, was it, you say?
Yeah, Newlands, aye.
Was it Park Lodge?
It could be.
Yeah.
Just because it was that long ago and I didn't really take any knowledge yet, you know, it's not something that I was really interested in learning about.
Yeah.
But I know it was an old building, it was an old fashioned and very, very old, just beautiful.
And so you've got Calderwood Road in the Newlands area.
I think it might have been that one.
Yeah, we'll put that one through then. Okay.
I remember the member of staff's name that was in the fight. His name was John Allen. I don't remember much, but I remember that was the guy's name. Never
forget
it.
Honestly, it's weird how
it's just these things stick out. But I couldn't tell you another resident's name. I couldn't remember.
I know. Right, so that's news. And go with 1991, was it then? 92? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Must have been 91 because I got married in 92. I got married just after I was 16.
Okay. So, in regards to that one then, so... So you ended up running away from that one. So just say, so you like your whole time in K, like the overall, so.
Yeah.
So you moved around.
Oh, aye, absolutely. And the time, it seems like it was for years, but when I look back now and think of it, it wasn't that long, but I was just in so many different places.
Especially at that age as well, that's when you need to be settled somewhere.
And they didn't have the skills, I take it, back then, that they did know how to manage. Even children's homes, you get sent there to maybe help you and stuff, but it didn't seem that they were in control as such. They didn't really have the skills that they have now, as they're taught now, and how to deal with kids with traumatic backgrounds. Because I felt... when I went into care, that a sense of relief, you know, my family home for what I was leaving, but there wasn't any security there at all. So it was just like, oh, she's got to get part of it anyway. So
yeah. So you said when you ran away, then you said that you became an addict.
Yes. When I ran away for the home, I didn't take drugs or anything like that. But the guy that I married, I was 15 and he was 21. How bad is that? That's as bad now that I look back on it. And he was obviously into these kind of things. And I didn't know what I was doing. So I went right into it. As I said, I never even took drugs. I went for nothing to taking heroin and injecting it, and then I became pregnant at 20. The only reason that I didn't become pregnant between 16 and 20 is because this guy spent most of his time in prison at that stage. But then when my son became two, I'd had enough, so I went into rehab with my son and all that, and just then moved my life on to that. Went to college, and I've always worked now. I've never not worked. So just kind of use what I had. I worked with the homeless for 20 years, so I kind of I use my lifestyle to help others.
Yeah, that's just good going though.
Absolutely. Sometimes I think I went through the life I did for a reason. to pass my knowledge on, and if I can do it, other people can do it.
Because a lot of people struggle to pass it on and then help. So the fact that you're able to, it's a good thing.
It took me a long time. I'm, as I say, 50 now. Sometimes you can't tell a story without crying. But I used to build up for years and years and years. But as you matured and stuff like that, the past 10 years, it's okay. It's okay because I got in contact with my sister after 20 odd years. So that's good. That came good with it.
Yeah. So I've just written a few statements now. So is there anything that you'd like to add at all?
I don't think so, no.
Further down the line, so we'll be in touch with you to do a witness statement. So it'll be similar to this, just with more direct questions and more focused, and then talk about the how it's affected you, how it affected you at the time, all kind of things like that. So is what I've done. So I've written a statement for the first two, and then for the last one then I've written briefly then that you so you said that you run away, and then the overall picture then of everything that happened to you, and also not that they allowed it necessarily, but being with a 21-year-old at a 15, that shouldn't have been allowed to happen.
No, they knew that I was seeing the guy when I was
been,
in the home.
They should have been more done to, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Without a doubt, the guy spent most of his years in prison. He's a paranoid schizophrenic. He came off here from Ireland and was a mess. And surely to God, he had some authority on a child at that age. And they knew that I was having an active sex life at that age as well. So, just couldn't imagine it happening in this day and age. I know it does, but it's just, to my child, absolutely not.
No. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll add in just a section just regarding just the Glasgow Council.
Uh-huh.
And I'll put in then about that. So the 1989 to about 1991. Bear with me 2 seconds.
Not at all.
Okay, perfect. So I've just written up those statements now. So like I said, so later on you'll have another chance to add a bit more into it and stuff like that.
No bother.
So the next step now is to go through the type of application that we can pursue. So there's two types under the redress scheme. So there's the fixed payment of £10,000, and it's a fixed amount award regardless of the severity of the abuse you suffered. Or there's the individually assessed one, which is up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level of abuse you suffered. So based on previous awards made by the scheme and everything you've shared with myself today, I'd like to pursue the individually assessed payment for you. Is that okay?
I am, sure.
Yep. So you won't be required to attend any meetings with the redress scheme in person or anything, so we'll provide the witness statement on your behalf for the scheme. So the next 7 hours would be for me to send over the documents for you to have a look at and sign. So it'll contain a client care letter, a conditional fee agreement, and a letter of authority. So that's everything that I've shared with you today, along with the letter of authority, which gives us then the permission to act on your behalf. And then it'll also contain a part one and a part two, which will be then everything you've shared with me. So you're under no pressure or obligation to proceed. But if you'd like, I can stay on the phone with you whilst you have a look, see if you have any questions or anything like that, and then just talk you through the process of the contract. Would you like me to?
Well, I've got to go to work shortly, so, I mean, probably not. But anything that you need to go forward with, absolutely go forward with. And anything that you need signed, just fire over in an email, and I can get things to get away and send to you.
Yeah, so I'll send them now to you.
Brilliant.
So I've just sent them now, so they'll come to you via email and text. So when you open the link, there'll be a yellow button that says seals required on the bottom of the screen. And when you open, when you click on that, it'll take you to each page that needs a signature. And it'll have like a tap to sign box. You just type it in or draw your signature and then press apply. And I think there's about four of those. And then once you scroll all the way down to the bottom, then it'll be a little tick box to say, I verify my signature is authentic. And then you then should be able to press submit. And then they'll come through to me then, and I can send it to redress.
And then send your three bits of ID as well.
Yeah, so that'll be, so you can obviously, you can do that on WhatsApp as well.
Do that in WhatsApp as well.
Yeah.
Right, so if there's anything that I missed, just let me know. But I should be all right there.
Yeah, so I'm in the office till 5 o'clock today. So if they come through before then, I'll get it sent to redress, okay?
Right. So well, I work 7 days on, 7 days off. So I work 7 hours in 1 week. So I'm just in and out of this, I know. But all I think is that's what I spend my week on. It's nearly Sunday. So I'll try and get, I'll get it done. I'm on a break every day for this time to 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So if I don't get it done today, I'll get it done tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for your help.
Thank you for your time today.
Thanks very much. Bye. Bye-bye. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
And you. Bye-bye.